I want to share with you this morning what the Lord has on my heart. And so I feel like I'm ringing, or I sound like I'm ringing. And I'm still in 1 Peter, and seems like I'm moving slow, but we got now to eternity, don't we? So, you know, we, so I'm going to go back to 1 Peter, and chapter 2, I want to talk about a war over your soul. It's, some of us not quite sure what we're fighting. We do know from Scripture, from Ephesians, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, even though sometimes it feels like you do, you know. But we wrestle against principalities and powers. And so we know that, but I want to talk about something that 1 Peter, that Peter addresses here in the book of 1 Peter. And just a couple of scriptures, and then I want to segue into something else, but it still has to do with what Peter said. And this is a war against your soul. So, Father, I just, Lord, we bow our heads, and Father God, we bow our hearts, and Lord, I am praying over your people that you would give them ears to hear. I am praying that your seed, that your word would find a lodging place in our hearts. My God, that it would bring forth much fruit. I am praying that by hearing, oh Lord, our faith is increased. Yes. I am praying that we would grow up. I am praying that the body of Christ would mature. Oh, my God. Your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let me read it to you and let's get into it. So I'm in 1 Peter and I want to start with verse, I got down to verse 11. So chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and it says this. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. Now, this is the interesting thing. You might want to underline this. I want to talk about this for just a minute. To abstain from the passions of the flesh. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. I want to show you something. Passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you, because they're going to, you do understand that, right? They're going to say something about you. If you say you are a Christian, right away they're going to start digging into you. You ever notice that? So yeah, you're sojourners and exiles. But now here's what Peter said. So he said, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let me just say a little bit about the day of visitation. If you will keep your conduct pure, listen, the day of visitation, when God visits them, they're going to look back to you. Now, that's going to happen. You ever had somebody come back up to you later on and say, you know what? I talked pure trash about you, but I'm so sorry because now I had somebody look me down 40 years later. 40 years, shocked me. Drove up out here, said, is it John 3 of Tyre, blah, blah, blah. Tells the whole story. But here's the deal. He said, I remember. Now, this is the bad thing about it. This guy weighed 349 pounds. He's 6'6". He's a great big guy. He's mean as a rattlesnake. And he just constantly picked on me. I don't know why. Because I was a Christian. And he would put stuff down and yada, yada, yada. And so I would just try to make things lighter. I just told the big giant, listen, you keep on. I'm going to march around you 7 times. You're going to come down. And he said, no, you ain't going to march around me. I said, oh, yeah, you keep on. I am, you know. But anyway, it's funny. He remembered all that, and I forgot it. But he remembered it. He said, man, listen here. Here's all I'm saying to you. When their day of visitation comes, I tell you, the Lord's going to bring back you to their memory. That's what's going to happen. You watch. The Lord will bring you back and they'll say, you know what? You don't know this, but you said. You don't know this, but I watched you. You don't know this, but I did this and you did that and I said this and this will happen. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus back on the passion of the flesh. That's what the ESV says. The passion of the flesh. Because I know you know the works of the flesh. If you go to Galatians, what is it, chapter 5? I think it's verse 19 through 22. It gives you a list of the works of the flesh. But Peter's using a little bit different language here. And I thought, well, we already know that just from Paul's teaching in Galatians. But no, he talks about sexual immorality. It gives you a whole list of stuff. We could go down and read it, but we don't need to right now, because I want to go to the passions of the flesh. Let me say it this way. It may bring a little more clarity or understanding. There's some things that you think are naturally you. You think they're you. They think it's part. I've heard people say all kinds of things, and you have too. Grandma did it. Grandpa did it. We do it. I've always been that way. I've even heard Christians excuse themselves from the scriptures by just saying, you know how I am. That's how I am. Y'all just going to have to love me because that's how I am. I don't care whether you like me or not, but you're going to blah, 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 blah. All I want to know is what. So let me get this straight. I got to live by the Bible, but not you. Because we just know how you are. That's kind of tough to swallow, isn't it? I mean, you, a royal hard to get along with, and we're supposed to just accept that. That's funny, but listen to me. There's not just, you know, this arrogance and this pride and this hateful spirit that can be in people. There's more to it. There's more. And I want to define it for you and just help you with it because I feel led by the Lord to do so. I'm in Peter and I want to stay in Peter, but I need to segue for just a minute into Joshua because I started talking about Joshua last week and the Holy Spirit lit me up over this. So I want to go back to Joshua for just a minute and show you something in Joshua and then we'll tie it together. So stay with me, okay? Because this passion of the flesh, if I go back to Joshua, now see, the reason I want to go to Joshua is because this is kind of interesting. I'm sorry. But in Old Testament days, they had to go after their enemies. Joshua now, Moses has died. I said a little bit about it last week, but now I want to just kind of dig into it a little bit. Moses had died. Joshua, I want you to take my people into the promised land. And so Joshua now has to get up. Now, here's the deal. The people know that Joshua's kind of been following Moses, and, you know, he's kind of, you know, Moses' man. But here's the real deal. We don't know. We're not sure you want us to go with you across the Jordan into the promised land. Okay. So Joshua seeks the Lord. The Lord tells, well, let me read it to you. Let me just read it to you. So Joshua seeks the Lord. And the Lord said, and I'm in Joshua chapter 3, and I'm starting with verse, I believe that says 7. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come hear and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, here's how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out, and here's the interesting thing, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, all the ites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Then there's seven tribes here these tribes are bigger than Israel, but God said, I'm going to drive them out. I'm going to use you. You're going to cross the Jordan, and I'm going to give them to you. You're going to drive them out. Now, it's interesting because I want to tie something into to us today. But let me just read a little bit more. So all of these ites are going to be driven out. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of his feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord, which the ark of the Lord was Jesus Christ. Did you know that? They're carrying the ark of the covenant. I realize, but in that ark of the covenant is Christ himself. Just think of that. And they bear it on the shoulders. And he says, when your feet touch the water is going to stand up. Now think of this. Now here's the interesting thing about this. Okay, I'll read just a little bit more and I'll quit. Of all the earth shall rest. I say, well, where am I at? The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. There's one thing I want you to understand about the Jordan. This is interesting. You know, if God wanted you to cross a creek, that's not too bad. You might can find a rock to step on, you know? But when he talks about a river, and this river's already out of the banks because the snow had been melting on Mount Hebron, and it's running down into the creek. The river is already overflowing its banks, and you want us, how come we don't cross in the winter? You want us to cross in the spring. You want us to cross when the water's high, it's flooding. But when our feet touch, now this is the interesting thing because I'm going to tell you, when their foot touched that water, you can read on for yourself, the water stood up and it began to back up. And it backed up as far as a little town called Adam. Interesting, isn't it? Another day, another time. That water backed up, it stood up, and they stood in the middle of the river, a river, an overflowing river, by the way, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground while they stood there with the Ark of Covenant on their shoulders. Okay, now, Paul said that God has given us the Old Testament because it's examples for us. So, let's look at some examples. I didn't know this until I'd done a study, so this is cool. I want to show you a little something here from the Word, okay? So, these tribes that are really, the land is under their government, they're going to drive these tribes out. But here's the thing. The interesting thing is about the names of these tribes. Now, I looked all these up. I want to give you some notes here. I want you to think about what it means, okay? Because I'm going to tie it into today. You see, there's some things that has to be driven out of us. Did you know that? Yeah. I know we don't have to worry about going and take. We don't have. Thank God we don't have to go to Durham and shut them down. Thank God we don't have to go to Creedmoor. Thank God. But listen to me. I tell you what. There's some spiritual ground that has to be taken. Has to be taken by you. Yeah. There's some spiritual ground. I tell you, there's a fight, and the fight's over your soul. I tell you, the devil's after you. I tell you, principalities and powers after you. And I tell you how he wants to shut you down. He wants to use your own will to do it. You agree with him. Yeah, ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Well, listen to this. Listen to this. The Canaanites, now when you look up these meanings, the Canaanite means those who traffic in materialism like merchants or pirates. They represent the love of money. So I want to know, is there some Canaanite in you? So just think about it. I love, now, I know we're not going to say that with our mouths, but I tell you, you do understand, sometimes you know you may have a problem, but you don't know what your problem is. Anybody ever been there? Now, here's the interesting thing. I know everybody else's problem, I just don't know my own. Isn't that, can't you look at everybody's life and think, well, hey, have you ever seen them, how they do their children? If I do my children, like that. You think, well, what's the funny thing? If you're an expert on children, how come your children ain't doing so well? Or how, you know, well, let's don't go there. How about, you know what, do you see how they act? You know, they think they're Christians. Well, it's a funny thing. And I know their problem. I know their problem. We're experts about everybody else's life, but when it comes to our own lives, we can't even see the tree for the forest. So, you know, we can't. So all I want you to understand something is in the Hebrew what these names mean. So there's a Hebrew word. And listen to me. These passions are called strongholds. So you think Mama and Daddy and Uncle Buck and Aunt Susie Q and all of them, our whole family done this. But I tell you, it's a stronghold that can grip your family and you don't even understand. You think it's just a part of natural of who you are. But did you know there's got to be some stuff driven out? Yes. So it could be the Canaanite tribe, and it means, like I said, materialism. How about Hittites? It means those that are broken in pieces. Terror or dread, they represent anger and violence. I don't want to say a whole lot, but some families, and some of you may be here, but there's such violent terror. In your families. Some families can't get together just for something as easy as Thanksgiving without a major knockdown. Yuck, 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 yuck. I've been waiting for you to say that. I know you're going to say that. You say it every year. Yuck, yuck. That families just can't even get together without some sort of drama. Am I talking about you, Lord? I hope not. We're talking about everybody else. But can't get together. And then I tell you, it's amazing. I had a childhood friend. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to say his name. And he's mean as a snake. I seen him. Well, excuse me. I didn't literally see him. I just heard it. Take a leather strap, like you put on a horse's saddle. He took that strap and took his daddy by the arm and whooped his daddy like a child because his daddy told him to do something. This boy was mean. Then his two big brothers got involved and he whooped them too. He whooped every one of them like he was their daddy. But the boy, I tell you, on the school bus, I'm telling you what's true. We, at that time, we went to Saxby Hall School, and they go K through 12. This boy's in the fifth grade, and he's always fighting somebody in the 12th grade. Them big boys, and he could fight. He was a fighter. All he knew to do was fight. He couldn't do nothing without getting in a fight. He was a trouble, and trouble just come to him. He would beat me up every day, just for the fun of it, I guess. I mean, I'd get so mad at him. I mean, I'm telling you, I wanted to kill him. You know, just bullying somebody. And the sad thing was, he was good at it. I mean, good night. What do you do with somebody who could just natural born fight? And listen, I'm not trying to make him bigger than what he is, but let me tell you how he died. Interesting. You ever hear stuff like this, you know, in some circles? You know, I hope you don't have to run in some of these circles. And I don't run in them either. But there was a time I would hear something about it. But, you know, all bad men, bad people, are either dead or in prison. Well, this guy is out bush hogging on his tractor. He's grown now. And he bumps a rock in the pasture. And somehow, I don't know, he is bumped off of his tractor between the tractor and the running bush hog, and instantly he's a million pieces. What a way to die. Violent. My dear God. Don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I tell you, now, I ain't telling you God's out to get him. That guy could have repented many times. He went to some of the same Bible little stories we went to when we was kids. But I'm tell you what, he had so much pee and vinegar in him, I reckon. I don't understand. He was crossed all the time. He hated authority, you know. Here's what I'm saying. Some families have this Hittite, broken terror. It represents anger and violence. Some people are just mad because they're just mad. You can look at them sometimes. I better go on. Yeah. Hittites. Hivites means life born of effort or beastly life. They represent human effort and a reliance upon self. Tribe of the Hivites. Perizzites mean rustic country dwellers. They backwoods. They represent the lack of wisdom and initiative. You ever met anybody like that? I ain't talking about southern people. I ain't talking about just country boys and girls. I'm talking about some that lack wisdom. They lack insight. They lack initiative. Backwoods. Girgashites means dense or condensed marshy ground. They represent ignorance and unwillingness to learn. You know, the Bible says that a wise woman or a wise man will receive instruction and become wiser. But now that's, you can identify that because I'm talking about you. But there's other people that don't receive it. They're like, well, who do you think you are? Oh, so you know everything. Oh, so you think you're so smart. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. So it makes some people mad because you do have some wisdom. Did you know that? It may upset them. But do you see some of these tribes and what they represent? Amorites. Amorite means those who live on high or summit dwellers. They represent pride and arrogance. Jebusites. They mean trampled down underfoot. They represent fear, anxiety, and they cripple. The fear and anxiety cripples spiritual growth. You can't trust God and be afraid at the same time, can you? You can't be fearful and full of faith. You know, it won't work. You know, the day and times we live in now, my goodness, they promote more fear, more anxiety. You hear it from every angle, don't you? You hear it. What's happening in the world? You know, it's... I want you to understand that Joshua had to lead the people into the promised land. I want you to know that Jesus, your Joshua, is wanting to lead you into the promised land. Now, it's not Canaan, but it is a place that is, I tell you, that flows with milk and honey. Interesting. Grapes are that big. You can't even carry them. My God, do you know Jesus wants to lead us and God, lead us out of our dysfunction? Into the promised land. You say, well, I know one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, there's going to be strongholds. I named at least seven, and there's more, that can hold you back, that it wars against your soul. And you think it's just part of your makeup, but it's not. It's something you need to be delivered from. It's something you need to let Jesus bring you out of. I tell you, only the Lord can bring you out of it. You say, well, why does that matter, Pastor John? Because in Revelation chapter 3, I think it is, verse 20 through 22. Let me see. Let me read it to you. Revelation, that's in the back, right? Revelation, let me read it to you. They probably already got it up there. You probably can already read it. But I want you to hear these words. Revelation chapter 3, 20 and 22. I want you to hear something. This is why it matters, beloved. This is why it matters. It matters. Revelation 3. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens this door, I will come into him and I'll eat with him and he with me. And here's the one that really... And the one who conquers, maybe your Bible says overcome, the one who overcomes or conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So beloved, we are conquerors. We're overcomers. We're in a spiritual war. We're in a battle. I can tell you, you can have strongholds that you think is part of you, but it's not. The devil is kill, steal, destroy. He's deceiving you. You very well may be distracted. You may be distracted by your own, what you think is your own personality, and it's not part of your personality. I tell you, some of these things need to come out of us. And I tell you, the Lord wants to bring us. He wants us to be overcomers by the word of God and by our testimonies and the blood of the Lamb, you can overcome. Do you understand? You can be an overcomer. You can be a conqueror. You say, well, why does it matter? Aren't you tired of living in hell on earth? Now, it's not hell that we're talking about going to. Nothing to compare. But I'm telling you, I want you to understand something, because there's going to be strongholds. Is it possible there's a stronghold? A stronghold has it. It could be something else. I just named seven from a tribe. But I want you to understand something. Jesus is more than enough to empower us and to overcome these inner strongholds. He's more than enough. Now, what's interesting about this scripture right here, it says, to he who overcomes, as if you can do that in your own strength. And if any of y'all been a Christian long enough, you know you probably got about the strength of a kitten. When it comes to spiritual things, I tell you, you have no strength. It may take a lifetime for you to learn that what you need is help from the Father. God has definitely arranged it. It's interesting. He invites you, then he strengthens you, then he empowers you. God is the one that will bring you through. It's interesting because of dependence on him. We have to have that deep dependence on him. I want you to see something, because I have good news. Praise God. You may already feel overwhelmed by, uh-oh, he's talking about my family. He's talking about me. Beloved, when you embrace an idea or a belief that's not in these scriptures, I want you to understand that you're believing a lie. It's not in the scriptures. Now let me do one. I know I sound like a broken record, but I have to. If I am any kind of pastor at all, if I am worth the salt that goes on my bread, if any pastor is worth the salt that goes on his bread, I must tell you the truth. Listen, sleeping around, running around, I am telling you, is not blessed by God. You, listen, you say, who are you talking to, Pastor John? Y'all don't have to look around. I don't know who I'm talking to. I just want you to understand this. You don't have to look around. Uh-oh, the pastor found out somebody's sleeping around in the church. No, I didn't. I am just telling you, beloved, we embrace things because I love him and he loves me. And love trumps everything. There's men telling men, I love you and you love me. I don't know. I'm telling you what. Love don't trump everything. If the love, listen to me. Let's do love, okay? Let's do love. Let's do love. First of all, I love God with all of my mind, all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength. That'll put everything in order right there. Then I love my neighbor as myself. But we're loving our neighbors. We not only want to love our neighbor, we want to love everybody else's neighbor. And I'm telling you, when you get it crossed up, and here's the interesting thing. And people say, if you don't accept this and you don't accept that and you don't, and don't you know the whole world's doing it? What's wrong with you? I'm telling you, you need to quit. I'm telling you, you need to quit. I'm telling you. So, that's not in my notes. I'm just telling you, when we embrace and exalt any principle above the Word of God, it's an idol. If you're going to exalt your children above even what God says about your children, I'm telling you, it can become an idol to you. You know, the world is full of it. But here's the sad thing, beloved. The church is full of it. God help us. It has to bother you. It has to break your heart. It has to. We can go to church, get hurt worse than we can anywhere on earth. Don't that bother you? Is there something wrong with that? Do you know? Boy, oh boy, I hate to say it, but I'm going to. You know, everybody wants to be a pastor until you have to say something that nobody likes. Then you wish you wasn't a pastor. You think, you know, or one of my favorites is, would you tell me the truth? Please don't ask me that. Because every time I've ever been asked to tell the truth, nobody says, oh, praise God. Thank you. That was good. I appreciate it. No, they get mad at me. Why did you ask me? I have never said nothing if you wouldn't have said nothing. But you asked me. I said it. Anyway, enough about it. It ain't about me. What was I going to say? Lord of mercy. Yeah. I didn't want to say it. But I said I was going to say it. But maybe the Lord didn't want me to say it. I can't blame God on this mind of mine. I won't do that. When we exalt any principle, concept, precept, belief above Scripture, beware. I read to you last week out of the same book of Peter that you're destined to stumble. If you're disobedient to the Word, you're destined to stumble. It's in your destiny. You're destined. I can tell you it's not going to go well with you. You can say, and this happens a lot, I'm going to go ahead and do this, then I'm going to ask for forgiveness. All right? And the whole time you're doing it, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, but I'm going to keep on doing it. But forgive me. You know. We'll see how that works for you. I want to show you something. I got good news for you. In 1 John, I want to go to 1 John. I want to show you something out of the book of John. I want you to see something. Oh, this is good news to me. Oh, praise God. Because these strongholds, you know, I want you to understand something. You can't deliver yourself. I want you to understand. When God says something like, you must become an overcomer, you can't overcome in your own strength. When God says to you, you must be a conqueror, you can't conquer in your own strength. I want you to understand that. I know you say, well, the Bible tells us to conquer. I tell you, you need God to conquer. You'll have to have Him. You'll have to have the Lord to conquer. And I'm going to show you that out of 1 John. Let me show you. 1 John, let me go to chapter 5 first. Then I'm going to come back to 4. Listen to what 5 says. So he says, and this is how you're going to overcome, beloved. John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. And I want to start with verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. If you're a Christian, I tell you the most wonderful things happened to you thus far as you've been born by God. Yes. And I tell you, you can overcome the world, I tell you, by faith in God. Yes. Not your own. You know, a lot of us pray, God, just make me stronger. Make me stronger. Suppose you're so stubborn, you think God's going to bless your stubbornness and your hard-headedness and your mule-like spirit? You think God's going to bless that? Are you kidding? You're asking God to make you stronger when He can't hardly get you to even... What are you asking God for? Do you understand? Because God is not going... I tell you what God wants to do. I tell you, He wants you to depend on Him. Well, let me just keep on reading. So, listen, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, let me read a little bit more. I can get excited and quit. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I got good news. Listen, if you've been born by the Spirit of God, I can tell you, you can overcome the world. It'll be by your faith in Jesus Christ. Your Joshua, your Jesus is going to lead you through. Listen to me. Listen. It could be any of it. The Hivites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the termites. It don't matter. Do you understand? Jesus, I tell you, is your deliverer. Praise God. That's good news. Praise God. Because see, if you think you got to do it on your own, you can't do enough push-ups. Some of us try so hard to be the most holiest person around that we make ourselves miserable. I have met people that have standards so high they can't even keep them themselves. And yet, Well, some people hold you at a very high standard. They thought you was Jesus. Well, we tell people that from the platform sometimes. Did you know some people's Jesus is, that they meet is you? You're the only Jesus that they know. You're the only Bible. There's a lace of truth to that. But do you represent well? But there is a lace of truth. But understand something. John says, if we're going to overcome, it's going to be through our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is bringing you to the river. Jesus is going to lead you across the flood zone. Jesus is going to lead you through, listen, the miry clay. My goodness, Jesus. It's what Jesus does. It's the most, I said in Sunday school this morning, I used to wonder, you know, praising God. You know, let me say something. Sometimes if the worship team gets hung up on a song like, I don't know, you know, but they do like seven words. I say 11 times. You think, good night. Are they stuck? Do they know any other thing? Do they know any other words? Can they just please hurry up and get by there? Or I'm so sick and tired of standing. Three songs. Whew. I don't mind three songs if they go ahead and sing it. But Lord, they got to sing it and sing it and sing it, sing it and sing it and sing it. Sometimes I get to rocking. I thought, Lord Jesus, let me give one leg a rest, give the other leg a rest. Hell yeah. At least you think I'm still praising. And sometimes I am. And sometimes I'm resting my legs. I don't know about you. But you know, the pastor just can't sit down. Or maybe he can. But here's the thing. They get hung up on a song. And then I thought, wait a minute. When you get to heaven, 10,000 years is going to go by and you're still going to be praising God. 10,000 years? 10,000 years. And I'm just going to be just still praising. And then it dawned on me. How can I get my mind? Well, I can't get my natural mind around that, but maybe I can. What about if you thought that you was from the tribe of the Canaanites and the Lord delivered you? Well, wait a minute. That's something to praise the Lord for. What about when God does something internally that you never spoke of? I can praise God. What about this? What about when you get to heaven and the Lord opens your eyes and you seen that God was closer to you, that Jesus was actually walking with you when you was in your lowest place? You'll begin to praise God. My God, I was so low. I was so undone. I was so lonely. I tell you what, I was so broken. If you, the Lord delivered my soul. I tell you what, you'll sit there and weep probably for 100 years. Because you'll find out the only reason I'm in heaven is because he kept coming after me. Because as many times, have you ever wanted to throw in the towel? Well, some of you have. Well, thank God. Well, if you live long enough, you may see some days you say, you know what, this ain't worth it. I just, you know what, throw in the towel. I give up. I said to the Lord one time, I asked Sherry, some of y'all heard me say this before, but maybe some of you haven't. So I got to a real low place, and this is before I was a pastor, so it was all right then. And people think pastors, you know, they just kind of live in a glass house or something, but they don't. And so I was at a low place, and now listen, I was tired in my body, and I was tired in my spirit, and I was tired in my soul, and I was tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted to puke if I could. Can I say, is there any other expression that gets you any lower than what I'm expressed to? I was done. And I said to the Lord, I told the Lord, I asked her if she would, she didn't mind, they was going to go somewhere, and I said, if you don't mind, I just want to stay at home. I just need a little bit of time alone, and I just want to stay at home. So she left, and so then I began to pour out my soul to God. And I just said, Lord, you know what? You probably shouldn't talk to the Lord this way. And I wouldn't, I would caution you to talk to the Lord this way. But I said, I give up. I give in. I'm done. I'm done. I don't understand. So I'm done. Of course, I hear nothing from that. When you fall into this self-pity, God probably is not going to speak to you about it anyway. They probably just let you lick your wounds. I don't know how that works, but. And then I said to the Lord, you know, I pay my tithes. I go to church every time the doors is open. So I began to give my little list of good things I do. Help every old woman across the street. You know, I don't ever push her down. I'll help her. I'm doing all the things to do, but I'm done. I don't know what else to do. I'm done. I give up. I give in. And I'm done. I'm done. Do you get it? And, you know, when God don't react, you want to say it again, but I was done. And I want you to understand something. I guess this was about 7 or 8 years in, maybe 9 years into our walking with the Lord, with our being saved, correct? About long in there somewhere? I'm close. And the Lord spoke to me. Yeah. Do you know what He said to me? Good. Now we can start. I said, we can start? What have I been doing? He said, I don't know. You don't understand. It almost made me mad. We can start? My God. Then the Lord says to me, now understand something. I don't know nothing about Billy Graham. I know that Billy Graham is a great pastor, but this time I'm not from the Baptist circles. I don't know nothing. I mean, you see him on TV. But the Lord said to me, I see you mimicking Billy Graham. I didn't realize I was mimicking Billy Graham. I didn't know I was trying to be a Billy Graham, but I called you to be you. I'm confused. I guess we all got this modeled Christian in our life. I don't know what you have in your mind, what you think, how it's supposed to look. But the Lord will shock you sometimes when He saves somebody that don't fit in your box. Then what do you do with that? Maybe they look weird. Maybe, I don't know, maybe their hair is purple. Maybe they got, I don't know, earrings in their nose. I don't know, maybe they got tattoos all over them. I don't know. I'm just saying, what do you do when God saves somebody? What do you do? What do you do with all of that? What do you do when they don't act like you? What do you do when they don't talk like you? And yet, then seems like they are more happier than you are. They found Jesus and you got religion. They found Jesus, they in love, they bouncing off the walls, and you're like, well, you better settle down some. Yeah, you know, so I want you to understand something. Jesus is our conqueror. We can follow after Christ. I got one more I want to show you. 1 John 4:4. And this is something that I believe that you may know by heart. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Praise God. Isn't that good news, beloved? The one that's in you, you know you can trust the gift that is in you. Did you know God put that in you? Did you know God was the one that saved you? God is the one that has baptized you. God is the one that has redeemed you. God is the one who has set you free. Do you know Jesus Christ lives in you, beloved? And you can trust, if you want to say it, if you want to go back, you're Joshua. Because He will lead you. And most likely, and it's interesting, isn't it interesting when the Lord wants you to move forward is when you feel most overwhelmed. You want us to cross the flooding river? Why didn't you at least wait till the tide was down? Something, I mean, you know, but you know what? The Lord, sometimes He wants you to move when He wants you to move. Won't you stand your feet, beloved? Praise God. So, I hope and pray. I hope and pray that you would consider the faith in Jesus Christ, Faith in what He will do. Faith in what He is doing. You know what? You wouldn't be as far along had the Lord not brought you along. Because you wasn't a people. Now you are a people. You wasn't a priesthood. Now you are a priesthood. Now you're royal people. Now you're peculiar people. And it's because of Jesus Christ, beloved. Jesus in you. Now He said, I stand at the door. He's always standing at the door knocking. The door of your heart, beloved. I'm going to have them sing a song. And all I want to do is just give you a minute. Just some time while we sing a song. I want to give you time to consider what's been said. Consider what the Word says. Consider maybe what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. I know this by the Lord. The Lord deals with all of our hearts in different ways. One time somebody told me, I really enjoyed your message. I said, good. Which part did you like? I really enjoyed the part about Abraham. I said, I didn't say nothing about Abraham. But the Holy Spirit must have said something to them about it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit talks to people. The Holy Spirit puts things on your mind I might not even have said, but I just tell you, we have to love the Holy Spirit, don't we? Let's just give Him a moment before we leave, will you? Let's just lead us in a song. And listen, if you want to come and pray, please. And I'll have some people, maybe some of the healing team can stand on the sides. And if you want to have somebody pray with you, come and pray with them. If not, just come and find a place to pray. And just maybe you need to just rededicate. Maybe you ought to just consider. Maybe you ought to just say, Lord, you know what? I've tried it my way, and I'd like to do it your way. Maybe you're from the tribe of self-sufficiency. Like the Lord said to me when I said, I give up, He said, good, we can get started. Wow. Blew me away. Let me ask you a question while we're here in the presence of the Lord. And just before we leave, I just want to ask you, have you told Him how much you love Him this morning? It's in moments like these that you can drink from the cup of the Lord. You can eat at the table of the Lord. Have you told Him how much you need Him? Have you even told Him you even want Him? Well, do you want Him? You can have all that you want. Are you satisfied with what you have? Are you satisfied where you're at? You're kidding. You see, them that hunger and thirst, they will drink and they will eat because they're hungry. They're thirsty. I don't really want to bathe your intellect with any more information. That's the last thing I think you need. I think you probably done heard everything you ever need to hear, probably. I don't know. I don't know how many sermons. I don't know how many revelations. I don't know how many impartations. But are you satisfied where you're at? Beloved, only you know. Only you know. Is there more? Is there more? Is there more for you to have? Is this it? Have you just flattened out, plateaued? Oh my God. So Lord, we love You this morning, and my God, we are hungry and we're thirsty and we want more, oh Lord.
Yes.
My God, there's none like You, oh Father God. Are You the only thing that satisfies my soul? Lord, I have searched and I have tried. Everything, but none of it satisfies me like You do. I've tried it all. I've done a lot of things, and my God, I have to come back and say, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. You're all I need, Lord. So Father God, I just pray over Your congregation, over Your people. Oh God, that they would find they would knock. You're standing at the door and you tell them, not only can they be overcomers and conquerors, you will do it in them, with them, through them. Oh my God, there's nothing too hard for you, oh Lord. So Father, I pray over your people. My God, that we hunger and thirst for you, oh Lord. I pray, Lord, as they go their different places today, oh my God, no harm or evil come nigh their dwelling. Encamp angels round about them, oh God, ministering angels, warring angels, protect them. Put that hedge round about them. Surround them, oh my God, my God, my God. When they lay their heads on their pillows tonight, before they go off to sleep, maybe they're too preoccupied with their neighbor or with a friend. But Lord, before they go to sleep, I pray that they would reflect deeply and answer the question, am I satisfied with my relationship the way it is right now? And Lord, are you satisfied? Lord, I pray that you would deal with their hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, you can go across the hall. There's food over there for you to get. And tonight, I want to encourage you, at 4:00 this evening, we're going to have some praise and worship. And listen, you're going to see some dance. And I encourage you to come back. It's a powerful service. Oh, come back and be with us. We're 4:00. To 7:00 tonight. Please come back. Why don't you turn and hug somebody? Tell them you love them with the love of the Lord. Amen.